Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today, riding the wave of the just-completed IFA Public Affairs Conference in Washington, D.C. Today, we'll be talking about political action and associated topics from the franchisor perspective. To that end, my guest today is none other than Dina Dwyer Owens, past chairperson of the IFA, and as most everyone in franchising knows, the CEO of the Dwyer Group. But before I introduce Dina, I'd like to express special thanks to Steve Caldera and the IFA staff for a phenomenal public affairs conference. Very, very well done indeed. I'd also like to thank my guests from last week, who were also from the IFA, for their insight into the conference. I believe they were spot on. So a special thank you goes out to Matt Heller, Jay Perrin, Dean Heil, and Erica Farage for their participation in last week's show. It was really great. And it was also great getting together with so many franchise friends at the Public Affairs Conference and, of course, at the IFA committee meetings. I especially liked the upbeat attitude across the board. Of course, it's always great seeing everyone at these events. And changing gears some, I'd like to really congratulate Ron Feldman, CEO at Siegel Capital and Franchise America Finance, for receiving and being presented the Sid Feltenstein Award for his efforts and contributions to FranPAC. It's so important that we contribute to FranPAC. And between last year's winner, Lane Fisher, and now Ron Feldman, I got to tell you, these are some unbelievable shoes to fill for future winners. And certainly they've set the standard to follow. Again, congratulations, Ron. It was well-deserved. And before we move forward and talk to Dean, I'd like to run down the upcoming franchise events. Next week in Philadelphia is the first ever springboard event for emerging franchise brands. And I'm looking forward to this event as there'll be some great information from some very prominent industry leaders shared on behalf of young franchisors. And I really think this is an area we really need to focus on. And I'll be attending and certainly look forward to reporting back to the Franchise Today audience. And then in October, there's the annual Franchise Update Leadership and Development Conference. And if you recall, 2 weeks ago, my guests were Shelley Sun, Greg Voinovich, and Tom Wood, all on the board of the Franchise Update Leadership and Development Conference, as they shared their experience and insight about the conference and shared some of their thoughts about past leadership conferences, including the first ones that they had attended. And by the way, we'll be broadcasting Franchise Today live from the conference, so really looking forward to that. In late October, franchising will again be front and center in Southern California as the West Coast Franchise Expo comes to town. And it'll certainly be a great event for all attending, especially with such upbeat attitudes. And I'm especially excited to announce I'll be presenting with Lee Plave in a symposium sponsored by Plave Cook on social media, digital information, and, of course, protecting your reputation and your brand's reputation online. So definitely looking forward to seeing franchise friends at any and all of these events. And, yeah, I mentioned, you know, riding the wave of a very productive week at the IFA Public Affairs Conference in Washington, D.C., amidst the tragedy at the Washington Navy Yard while we were there. It's just terrible. And enough said there. But I'm joined today by former IFA chairperson and longtime CEO of the Dwyer Group, Dina Dwyer Owens. Dina and I will discuss her experience and perspective on IFA efforts on Capitol Hill. We intend on touching on some of the particular issues addressed at the just completed conference, and especially jobs creation, and something I know is very close to Dina's heart, job creations for veterans. Dina, welcome back to Franchise Today.
Thank you, Paul. It's my pleasure to be on again.
It's been a while, although it seems like just yesterday, since you've been on the show, which, if I recall correctly, was right after your appearance on CBS Undercover Boss. And as you know, we've had several others from the franchise world that have been on the show, including Shelley Sun, Catherine Monson, and the most recent, Stephen Greenbaum. I mean, isn't it great to see franchising front and center in a positive light on national TV?
It's absolutely terrific, and I think Undercover Boss and, you know, Studio Lambert and CBS have done a beautiful job of doing their best to portray the good that's happening, not only in franchising but in corporate America, but I think franchising in particular, I think the consumers now are getting a much better understanding about what a franchise is really all about. In fact, in our own businesses, Paul, probably one of the greatest gifts that we've received by participating in Undercover Boss, I had met with a franchisee who was not following the system. And, of course, that caused some challenges within the organization, but it gave me a great platform to remind the franchisees that it's all about the system. And now I have at least 40 million viewers, consumers, who know what to expect when our franchisees come to their homes to take care of their homes or their businesses when it relates to our services. And they're holding us accountable to our brand promise. And that's going to continue to be a gift to us because the show continues to air all over the world, not just my show, but all these episodes, and I'm thrilled about all the franchise companies that have been played. And now it's on Netflix, so I'm hearing from viewers because I get emails daily that it's now available on Netflix. So the message just continues to promote the good happening in franchising, and I think it's just been a blessing to our industry.
It sure has. And then just recently, I think it was in May, you were on the, I guess it was an Epic show, on CBS Undercover Boss. Kind of give us some background on that.
Yeah, CBS had decided to do an Epic Bosses show and an Epic Employee show. So after four seasons and them winning an Emmy for the third season, they said, you know, the viewers really love hearing how the bosses are doing and hearing what they learned, and as well as the employees. Now, I was fortunate to have been invited to participate in the Epic Bosses episode, which included 10 of the previous bosses that had been on air. And, you know, what it does is it just continues to, again, tell the world about who we are as franchisors. And in my case in particular, the thing that I'm thrilled about is the message about living rich. As you know, I've written a book called Live Rich, which is all about treating people with respect and dignity and being accountable to ourselves. And when you do that, profit's the applause you get. So it's funny, we're about to talk about the Public Affairs Conference, and I had a franchisee of the year with me from Glass Doctor, Larry Patterson, out of Dallas, and his wife, Cheryl. And as we're listening to Marco Rubio speak about the challenges that we were having, you know, on Capitol Hill and in America, and same thing with Scott Brown, my franchisee leans over, he says, what our country really needs is our code of values. And I thought, you're right. And what it really, the code of values is really all about, again, treating people with respect and dignity, but holding ourselves accountable.
Yeah, you know, we've had Mark Liston, one of the Dwyer Group's brand, Glass Doctor, that's president on the show, and we went over the code of values. I have his card on my desk. I look at it almost every day, and on the back of it is the code of values. I mean, just phenomenal. And I really look forward to Mary Thompson on the show in early November talking about veterans and franchising. And, yeah, the Dwyer Group does it right, and I would have to say that it's all built around these code of values.
It is, and we're far from a perfect company, Paul. You know, but the good news is we have very high standards, and I think any time an organization works hard to live up to a high standard, they're better for it versus having low standards that you surpass every day. So we work hard every day. We're far from perfect, but it is making a difference in who we are and the experience our employees, franchisees, and customers are having with us.
Well, I know your dad is looking down, and he's very proud of everything that's been achieved. And you have given to franchising relentlessly. And I know, as many know, you're the former chairperson of the IFA. So you were very much involved in the Public Affairs Conference and have been since. So let's look at this from a franchisor's perspective. How important is the IFA Public Affairs Conference?
I think it's one of the most important things that the IFA does. And if it weren't for the IFA, Paul, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't believe I ever would have been as involved as I am today in, if you want to call it politics, government relations. And when I chaired the IFA, it was clear to me after polling our membership community, franchisors, franchisees, and our suppliers alike, the number one thing that the franchise association can do is government relations. And then public relations follows that, you know, which we were talking about Undercover Boss being helpful in the public relations area, and then member relations. But the number one thing that we can do as an organization is protect and enhance and promote franchising. And being on Capitol Hill is imperative.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many on Capitol Hill as well as in corporate America that really don't understand what franchising is about. And you're right. I mean, we definitely have to educate them. I know I've been on my own crusade dealing with American Express and excluding franchising from the past due Small Business Saturday events. And I know it was brought up again at this year's membership meeting and then also at the Marketing and Technology Committee meeting. And it's going around on Franch Social right now. And I know Shelley Sun is meeting with American Express tomorrow, and it's just hard to believe that, you know, very intelligent people, very educated people that are in business, in and around business, really don't understand, you know, how much franchising is small business. We're very much mom and pop. We're very much Main Street USA, just like independent businesses. Except, of course, we have the franchise relationship in the middle of it, which to me is one of the greatest relationships imaginable. We have to do our part. And obviously the Public Affairs Conference is one of those great events where we have an opportunity to do so.
Right.
How about for new franchisors, including those just entering the space, as a startup franchisor, the ones that might be thinking, you know what, I'm new to this, how can I make an impact? What would you say to those individuals?
Those new franchisors are about to create jobs. So I think they can make a huge impact. In fact, I think the legislators love to hear from folks who are brave enough to start up businesses given the current economy. You know, and so in my mind, they need to be side by side with us on Capitol Hill, talking to our representatives. You know, representatives care about job creation. So I think they're key in this whole process. And I think for their own businesses' sake, they need to be up there with us talking about those issues that concern us most. Because if they're about to dive into franchising, they're about to make a long-term commitment to their franchise partners. And they've got to make sure they're protecting that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think no matter how young you are in franchising, you need to get involved. So current issues this year, obviously jobs creation, there's, you know, health care, there's an assortment of different things that were addressed. How do those specifically address, affect, I should say, franchisors in your opinion? And what are your concerns as these issues relate to the franchise relationship?
Well, you know, the goal of a franchisor is to help their franchisees become successful and achieve the quality of life that they've dreamt of achieving. And with the regulations that we're dealing with today, from Obamacare to the tax issues, immigration even,
mm-hmm.
it's preventing our franchisees from being as successful as they could be, which in turn prevents us as franchisors from being as successful as we can be. And it touches our suppliers, too. So I think, you know, all these things you mentioned, from health care to immigration to tax reform, and of course veterans are near and dear to my heart, so that's another topic, but those affect us all. And when we don't have certainty about what's going to happen with our cost, we can't even budget for next year. And if we can't budget as a franchise or for next year, how can our franchisees possibly budget? They don't know to what extent some of these things might affect them. So I think it's key that we get some certainty around all three of these issues. And I think that I'd love to give the IFA and all those folks that were on Capitol Hill, including you, Paul, the last few days, some credit for it. Looks like Boehner now has come across the line in pushing to defund Obamacare. So I think the first step has been taken in that he made that commitment yesterday and you know, has got to pass the House. And then whether or not it ever gets through the Senate is another story. But the bottom line is us being on Capitol Hill this week made an impact. Yeah, because those folks, those representatives, heard how important these things are to us. And, you know, for some of my friends in franchising, the health care issue alone could totally change the way they do business. Totally. I think about my friends in the restaurant industry. You know, the Dwyer group of companies, it's a little unique in that many of our franchisees don't have 50 or more employees, but those who do, of course, are also saying to themselves, well, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to go past 50, or I'm going to start having people at a part-time level instead of a full-time level, and that affects those people and their families. So healthcare in particular affects all of us in some way, shape, or form. I think the biggest issue when I think about all franchisees and franchisors is this whole tax reform piece and how we need comprehensive tax reform. You know, 90% of our franchisees across the IFA are S-Corps. And, you know, as an S-Corp, our income goes right into our personal tax returns. Mm-hmm. So comprehensive has got to be done. We've got to have the government looking at how to improve not only the large companies' taxes, but also the small companies' taxes. And, you know, when there's no money left over at the end of the day, and many of our franchisees and us as franchisors, we have thin margins, they keep picking away at our thin margins, you know, what's going to happen to job growth? We're not going to have it. In fact, some people may say, this is just too hard, and I'm tired, and I'm not going to do it anymore. I'll go do something else.
Absolutely. Now, Steve Caldera wrote on the Hill's Congress blog, which is identified as where lawmakers come to blog. And the title was Congress Should Have a Small Business Agenda. I'd like to read some parts of it. The first thing Congress can do to help small business owners is reform the well-intended but misguided and unworkable definition of a full-time employee in the Affordable Care Act. Earlier this year, Obama administration announced that it would delay the implementation of the ACA employer mandate and reporting requirements for a full year as they reexamine the potentially disastrous implications for small business. While that was a good first step, it did not alleviate the fundamental pain that small businesses feel with the law. And the law requires employers with at least 50 full-time employees to offer health insurance to those working at least 30 hours a week, essentially redefining full-time from the traditional 40-hour work week. If implemented, as is, this requirement would have a tremendously adverse impact on the small business owners in the franchising industry, and as you just led to, Dina, which includes restaurants and, then of course, retailers, hotel, and service-related industries, obviously, such as the Dwyer Group. What do you think about that?
I think Steve's right, and I don't know where the heck this whole 30-hour thing came from. I mean, since I was a kid, you know, full-time employment was 40 hours a week. So I think the ask we had on Capitol Hill is exactly right, which, you know, is driven by Steve's comment you just read, is, you know, let's make full-time mean 40 hours a week. That'll take a little bit of relief off of this Obamacare hitting our franchisees so hard. Yeah, and folks that are for small business get it. It's getting other people to understand that.
Sure. And the second thing that he addressed that should be on the congressional docket is comprehensive reform of the tax code. The franchise industry is in a unique position of representing both sides of the tax code, corporate and individual, so any reform must include both to be comprehensive. And he goes on to say that it's an encouraging sign that Senator Max Baucus and Republican and Representative Dave Camp, the respective chairman of the Senate and House tax writing committees, are putting aside partisan differences to work towards comprehensive tax reform, which, as you said, I mean, it's just absolutely important. I mean, it lowers the effective it would lower the effective tax rate of businesses, which, of course, is the rate that businesses actually pay. It's just very much important. And then he said the third thing that Congress must do, which you touched on also, is come to bipartisan agreement on keeping the government running. Any thoughts you'd like to add towards, you know, the government running and its effect on small business and franchising?
Yeah, as you asked that question, Paul, my stomach just churns, and I think to myself, no small business owner would run our businesses the way the government runs our nation. I just don't get it. I mean, you know what? You're out of money. You're out of money. You got to look at doing something different so you can get different results. Yeah, and I'm sitting there, you know, at the table with Larry Patterson, again, of Glass Doctor, our franchisee of the year, who was participated in a roundtable discussion with some reporters while we were on the Hill. And he says, look, he says, I got three places that my profits can go. One, debt service, and that's a must. I have to pay my debt. Two, I've got a certain quality of life, and it's not an unreasonable quality of life that I'm looking to provide for my family. And then three, how much can I invest back in the business?
Sure.
And you know, his whole attitude is that they've got to get this corrected because I want to invest back in my business. But if all my money's going to taxes, I don't have anything left over. It just, it's ludicrous to me. I could go on and on about how I don't understand it. but you don't understand
it, Paul.
And we just have to continue to push as Steve Caldera has done so beautifully. And I must say something about Steve Caldera. He has done a beautiful job leading the association. And we've got a team of amazing people from Steve Romanello to all those folks you've mentioned, Shelley Sun and all of them. But when you've got folks like Marco Rubio and Tom Donahue from the Chamber of Commerce saying that the IFA is becoming known and their voice is truly being heard, that's exactly where we need to be. But the more of us that get involved, the more that Capitol Hill will know who we are and understand our needs.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's just Steve has done a phenomenal job through a very difficult time, and hats off to him. He concludes this article by saying it's easy to look at Congress and be cynical about the absolute dearth of agreement and accomplishment, but the reality is that members of Congress often agree on more than it appears. Small business is an area of repeated praise from both sides of the aisle, and protecting a job-creating engine is something that politicians of any persuasion should be able to agree on. Let's hope this fall the Congress and the President choose to move the ball down the field with meaningful policy reforms and not punt on its most fundamental responsibilities. Very powerful statement indeed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously franchisors are continually in a flux of trying to plan for the future, and if only we had a crystal ball. So how important, looking at this from a franchisor's perspective, how important is it that the franchisors consider political issues when developing their growth strategies for the upcoming years?
Well, I think it's imperative. Again, as we go into the budgeting process just at the Dwyer Group, you know, the more we can understand what taxes look like and what Obamacare looks like, the better we can project what our numbers need to be. But right now, it's really up in the air. The thought of anybody doing a three-year plan right now, I don't know how you do that. How do you do it? So I think we have to consider political issues. There's no way around it because there's so many parts of our business and our budget that tie right back to what's going on with the government.
Well, I think you can do a three-year plan. You just have to do it every year.
That's right. and still, you're guessing, you know, a lot of
it. Yeah, absolutely. So how about from the perspective of communicating with franchisees and, of course, a franchisor's responsibility to do so, as they contemplate their own growth plans and, as you said about your franchisee that had three – you know, choices here or three things he needs to address. You know, they make their own growth plans. They develop their own growth plans and go to follow through. But a lot of times they don't understand or know about what's going on a larger scale, such as at the public affairs conference. So how important is it for a franchisor to communicate these things in a regular course of business to their franchisees?
I think it is our responsibility to do that, Paul. We've got the Dwyer Group's annual reunion coming up. That's our convention at the end of September in San Antonio. And while we were on the Hill, the IFA was kind enough to do a video message from Sonda Kitchen. I don't know if you've met Sonda, but she's one of our Mr. Reader franchisees who's been very active in Franchise Congress and has chaired the Franchisee Forum. So she's given a lot of her time to protect and promote franchising as a whole. So Sonda recorded about a 2-minute message that we're going to be playing at the opening of our annual reunion, and it's all about educating the franchisees on what's going on, but how important it is that they get involved. So as a franchisor, we're going to continue to educate them, and with Obamacare, we have to. I mean, next month, there's a lot of things going on, and we need to do our best to communicate what's going on with that so that they can prepare for it. But things like having Sonda communicate, and I think the IFA would be happy to share that communication piece with any franchisor who wants to even send a YouTube out to their franchise community about the importance of them understanding what's going on in these areas and how they need to get involved, because they can all get involved at a local level. And that's the thing franchisees need to understand. They don't have to come to Capitol Hill. We'd love for them to, but they don't have to come to Capitol Hill. We really need feet on the street. We need a grassroots effort in building relationships, you know, whether we've got tough legislation in front of us or not. We need franchisees on the ground working with franchisors and building those relationships with their representatives. And then when things get tough, they already know who that franchisee is. Dawn and Sue Glovin, another Mr. Reuter franchise couple that we have that attended the PAC, you know, their congressman knows them by face and name because they have been in their offices so frequently, but they're also part of Franchise Congress.
Mm-hmm. And for those listeners, because sometimes we have some listeners that don't quite understand the different terms that we're talking about, you know, IFA currently offers two great ways to get involved in advocacy. One of them, as you mentioned, is Franchise Congress, and that's basically the face of franchise advocacy. The IFA Franchise Congress political grassroots program will enhance the IFA's advocacy capabilities at the state and federal levels, allowing all of us to increase our impact on the issues that affect the success of franchising. And then also there's franchisingvotes.com, which is a kind of a one-stop shopping location for all your advocacy needs. And the IFA encourages franchisors, franchisees, and suppliers to join the advocacy network. By participating in the IFA's advocacy efforts, you'll become a dedicated advocate for franchising, which the IFA can call upon to serve as the voice of franchising in critical times. It's really important to get involved. So you can go online at franchisingvotes.com. Of course, you can go to franchise.org and look under the different titles at the top, the tabs, and one of them, government relations, events, resources. Take a look at it. More importantly, be sure to get involved. We're here today live with Dina Dwyer Owens of the Dwyer Group. We're Franchise Today. We're talking about political action of franchisors' perspective. So, Dina, how important is it that franchisees get involved, especially at the local level?
It's very important, and as I was stating a minute ago, I think it's one of those things that should be fairly easy for them to do. I mean, they can when their representatives are home, they can just set an appointment and go visit them and share with them their concerns. And if they want the support of the IFA, the beautiful thing about Matt and his team is they're available to provide them these talking points, and we'd be happy to get on the phone with them too and coach them through the talking points. And they can invite them to their offices. I think these representatives, when they're home, love to be invited to these small business offices and learn more about how they're creating jobs and what their concerns are. So it's a matter of sending invitation out. So there's ways that they get involved that's not time-consuming, but can make a big impact.
A few minutes at the beginning of the show, I mentioned Ron Feldman receiving, being presented with the award for his efforts and contributions to FranPAC. But again, as many people listening in don't quite understand some of the terminology we're using, would you be so kind as to explain what FranPAC is and what it does?
Sure. It's our political action fund. So what we need is we need folks who will contribute. Even if they can contribute a dollar a day, Paul, to that PAC, that makes a difference. So that's another $365 that the IFA can use to get out there and support those folks who are for small business and also get that message out there about how many jobs franchising is creating. So it's everything from a dollar a day, and we'll take whatever you can give, to if you want to become a max donor. My husband and I are both max donors, and that's $5,000 apiece, and we've been doing that for years. Because this is our livelihood, Paul, and it's everybody, all the listeners that are out there, this is their livelihood too, as far as I understand it. So we need to put our money where our mouth is when it comes to protecting our livelihood, and a dollar a day is nothing compared to protecting your businesses from regulations that you just can't stomach. So I would suggest that they could go to the franchise.org website and learn a lot more just by looking at the FranPack link. It's very easy to give. And we encourage everybody to at least give a dollar a day. But, boy, we'd love more max donors. And I think it was Steve Romanella who challenged us during my chairmanship. We were working on a strategic plan for the IFA based on the feedback we'd gotten from our members. And, of course, government relations came up as number one again. And Steve says, we need $1 million pack. And, you know, that makes people uncomfortable when you say we need $1 million pack. That's a lot of money to raise. But guess what? We're right at $1 million pack. So our voices are going to be heard more and more, because you got to put your money where your mouth is.
Yep. And just so everybody understands, these need to be personal contributions, not from your company, correct?
That is correct, and they are not a write-off. We don't get any write-offs for supporting political action committees.
How, you know, shifting gears, job creation. How important is it that jobs creation, I mean, definitely, in my mind, one of the most important topics, for sure, continue to also focus on creating opportunities for our veterans, and actually both in job creation and business ownership. And I know this is definitely a topic that's close to your heart.
Yes, it is. I'm smiling as you're talking about that, because the International Franchise Association and the VetFran Committee and all those wonderful franchisors, franchisees, and suppliers out there who have supported this are making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. We've got over 550 franchisors now giving their best deal to qualified veterans. So to become a member of VetFran, it's quite simple, Paul. Some people think it's complicated. It's not complicated at all. As a franchisor, you've got to make a commitment, and it's you know, based on your honor, that you're going to provide a qualified veteran. It's got to be somebody who can, in fact, invest in your business and meets all your criteria, but you give that qualified veteran a better deal than you'd give anybody else coming in off the street. So we've got, as far as been reported, and we know it's more than this, but we have to get folks to report this, more than 4,600 veterans have become franchisees through the VetFran program since it was relaunched in late 2001, which is incredible results. And then a couple of years ago, Mary Thompson, leading the VetFran Committee, met up with Michelle Obama and Joe Biden on the Joining Forces Initiative, and we made a commitment as an organization to hire 80,000 veterans through franchising, 5,000 of those being wounded warriors. And as we reported at the board meeting the other day, we've got 64,000 veterans who have now either become employees of franchise companies or have become franchisees of franchise companies. And we're ahead of our timeline on that. So I'd encourage all of you to get involved in VetFran and the Joining Forces Initiative. Veterans are used to systems and are quite disciplined. But make sure you got the right person for your franchise. It still has to be a good fit. And then those employees, you know, many of them would love to work for a veterans organization, too. So we've got a lot of our VetFran franchisees who are now hiring veterans. But everybody make a commitment to at least hire X number of veterans.
Absolutely. And for more information on VetFran, you can go to VetFran.com directly, or, of course, you can go through the IFA website. So job creation in general being one of the major issues this week at the Public Affairs Conference. How important is it that we continue, from a franchisor's perspective now, that we continue to create jobs?
Well, if we don't create jobs, our country's going to be in worse shape than it's in today. And the message that we've said, and this is something I've copied from somebody else, Paul, is that, why starve the goose who's laying the golden egg of jobs? I mean, the surveys show that franchising was responsible for 10% of all new jobs created basically in the last 18 months. 10% of all new jobs were created in franchising.
Yeah,
and franchising is responsible for 8.2 million jobs directly and over 18 million jobs indirectly. So, you know, we've got to continue to create jobs. Every franchisee or franchisor that's out there, we're in the business of building this country, and we do it through job creation. And when we're not creating jobs, our businesses aren't growing.
If you would, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people don't understand, even within franchising, all that goes on at the IFA, all goes on at these, you know, different events. And if you would, taking it from a personal level, if you would share with us some of your experience surrounding the Public Affairs Conference, FranPAC, VetFran, back from when you were chairperson of the IFA.
Yeah, when I was chairing the IFA, Paul, we were deep into the recession, and Matt Shea was the CEO of the association at the time, and Matt and I, along with the executive committee, had to be very thoughtful about our budget because we really didn't know what was going to be happening, you know, in the world at that point in time. So the biggest challenge we were faced with at that time was access to credit. Franchisors' growth almost halted, as well as franchisees' growth, because they could not get the financing they needed. And you know, folks like Shelley Sun and Rod Feldman and others that you've mentioned already on your show were instrumental in working on creating relationships with lenders and helping them understand what franchising was all about and the good that franchising does for our economy. And that has certainly improved as a result of all those efforts. But that was kind of the big focus. Government relations was key. Access to credit was probably the number one issue that we focused on during my term as chair.
You know, one of the things, looking through the IFA website, and there's a host of information in there, and we don't talk about this much, and maybe you can shed some light on it. IFA coalitions. What are they, and what do people within the franchise community need to know about these IFA coalitions?
Yeah, the IFA has done a wonderful job of teaming up with other like organizations. For example, the United States Chamber of Commerce. We're very involved in teaming up with them on issues that matter to small business. And so that just creates the synergy, Paul. Just like a franchisee-franchisor relationship creates synergy, it's the same thing with these coalitions. We create this amazing synergy with other groups who are like-minded, and we work together. So we contribute financially to those groups, but we also give the time of our leadership at the IFA, and you know, we reach out to franchisees and suppliers to help us in that process. I can't even tell you how many coalitions we're part of now. I'm surprised sometimes when we get report outs at the board level as to how many different amazing coalitions we're part of to help impact what's happening not only at the federal level but at the state level.
Yeah, it really is remarkable. And look at the IFA website at the list of coalitions. I mean, it's numerous. You know, one of the things yesterday, and you touched on some of this, and I'd like to bring up some highlights here. The franchise industry growth holds steady. The IFA had a press release, as a matter of fact, the day before yesterday, of the results from the third quarter franchise forecast for 2013 and the annual Franchise Business Leader Survey. And some of the highlights: in the past year and a half, the franchise sector accounted for roughly 10% of all new jobs, bringing total jobs in the industry to more than 8 million. In fact, over the past 12 months, the franchise sector has added 184,000 new jobs in industries such as business and personal services, restaurants, automobile, education, and manufacturing. It's forecasted to grow faster than the broader economy. While the franchise sector is outgrowing the broader economy, is expected to increase from the post-recession average in 2013, growth is still expected to be below pre-recession levels. You have any thoughts on that? I mean, anytime you hear that it's, you know, below something, pre-recession, you know, there has to be a level of concern. Are you concerned about that?
Yes, you know, I'm an optimist. So the good news is as I just look at my own company, our same-store sales is growing nicely. You know, we had some double-digit negative same-store sales decreases during the recession, and although some of my brands also had double-digit increases, depending on what services they provided, that aren't really affected by any recession. But we're climbing. But we're climbing very slowly. I mean, we see some nice double-digit, on average, same-store sales. But when I read something like this, it is concerning because I was talking to lots of folks up on Capitol Hill just picking their brains about their expectations. And, you know, some of them, for us, new construction picking up is very helpful in our industries because we had some people who were
sure.
new construction contractors who were out of a job because they weren't building. So they got involved in the service sector of repairs that we do. So they, you know, they started coming in and they were lowballing jobs basically, which affected our franchisees in some areas. Many franchisees grew very, very nicely through the recession. So today, the fact that new construction is coming back, although I understand it kind of sounds like this, it's coming back, but it's still below pre-recession levels. So the good news is at least we're having some growth. It's slow growth, but we're having some growth. The challenging thing is how do we pick it back up to pre-recession levels? And I don't think it's going to happen, Paul, unless some of these changes happen on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, definitely would be the foundational cornerstones to increasing growth. There's no doubt whatsoever. So as we're talking about that, what is your outlook on franchising for the future? And if you would, kind of divide it into short-term and long-term.
So my outlook on the future of franchising in the short run is that we all need to take responsibility for our role in communicating to our representatives. I think this is a critical time in our history that we've got to make sure that they're taking steps and making changes that are going to benefit our businesses. So I'd encourage, again, all the listeners to make sure that you get involved. If you're not involved today, get involved today. Even if that's, you know, picking up the phone and calling your representative or writing a letter. Don't send just some standard generic letter. Put a handwritten letter together that talks about your business in particular. So my outlook is positive. So let me just say that. My outlook is positive, but I think in the short run, we need more people talking to their representatives about the challenges and the fears that they have today and what we need to grow out of this. It's in my mind, still a recession, even though they say officially it's over with. I still see it that we're faced with some recessionary challenges.
Well, and I think, you know, obviously that is more defined on a regional basis. I mean, we're fortunate to live in a great pro-business state of Texas, which, you know, to some extent really saw little effect, at least in the larger cities, of an economic downturn. I know living down here in the Woodlands, Houston area, we've got, you know, a new world campus being built by Exxon that's going to generate 12,000 jobs in the area. The housing market is booming. A lot of it is felt through a lot of the other areas in Texas. But, you know, a lot of states are not as fortunate. We hear about, you know, bankruptcy or potential bankruptcy in the city of Detroit. We hear about the continuing economic problems in some of the larger states like California. We hear about legislation being proposed about the franchise relationship in some states, and it really makes one start to feel that a lot of these states are really anti-business, and it seems like the states that appear to be more anti-business are the ones that are facing these type of economic problems. And, you know, we are the United States, and it would be great to say that everybody was the same across the country. But, God, yeah, sometimes it's just frustrating in some of these states where you're trying to do business and you're constantly getting kicked back on, you know, the FDD, and the requirements just seem to be so ridiculous. And I know with the Dwyer Group having – obviously, franchises in all the states. And what are some of your thoughts on that? What's going on with these states that just can't seem to get out of their own way, don't seem to be pro-business, and if anything, seem to be preventing the growth of business?
You
would think, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. You think that, you know, if you're about to go into bankruptcy, that's a wake-up call to you're doing something wrong. And why don't you look at states like Texas that are like you said, pro-business, and look at the success we're having. and model after something like that. I mean, we're not a perfect state, but you know what? There's some great things going on in our state. I think about California and the challenges we have in California in franchising. And thank God for people like Sonda Kitchen, who I mentioned earlier, and the other franchisees and franchisors and suppliers who went out to fight very, very unfriendly franchise legislation. And what we heard after a two-month communications campaign, basically that's what it's all about. It's about communication, is these folks got in front of these legislators and helped them understand other perspectives, because when you have a group of franchisees who aren't happy with what the franchisor is doing, they're only hearing one voice. And this is where we all have to stand together and say, but wait a second, do you realize that if this were to pass, you're taking something away from the franchisees who are operating in California? And you're also going to probably have franchisors who aren't going to even grow in California because of the challenge the legislation would create, where you're getting right in the middle of the franchisee-franchisor relationship that they're very clear about. So I appreciate the folks that are out there, you know, helping franchising in those places where there's some very, very unfriendly stuff going on that could end up, you know, resulting in bankruptcy, not only for those communities and the governments, but, you know, also for the folks who are trying to run businesses there.
Sure. I mean, you know, we deal with, over at Franchise Foundry, we deal with a lot of young startup franchisors. And it really is disheartening, but yet it makes sense to hear them say, okay, we'll roll out in Texas, we'll roll out here, we'll roll out there, but you know what, I don't want anything to do with California, I don't want anything to do with New York, and I don't want anything to do with Illinois, and I definitely don't want anything to do with Maryland and Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's actually part of a strategy, and I just shake my head and shake my head in bewilderment, as I know you do as well.
It's sad to hear that would have to happen, but I'm not.
It is.
You know, I think it's probably a pretty good strategy right now. it's too late for us. We're in those states.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Right.
If I were a young franchisor starting up, I would be afraid of those states.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we have the several events coming up in franchising, very prominent events. One of them being the annual Franchise Update Leadership and Development Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, and it's not just because you are the area, you're one, in my mind, one of the foremost leaders in franchising. And we saw a lot of that, obviously, in CBS Undercover Boss episode. And a lot of people might not have been aware of that. And a lot of people that are not actively involved in the IFA didn't see and get to experience your leadership as a chairperson of the IFA. So it all comes down to relationships. Tell me, is there a secret? And I know it's not a secret, but share with us your secrets for happy franchisees. Because, as you mentioned, this some of this horrific legislation coming down the pike, as you know, with respect to franchise relationships, you know, obviously there's got to be some discord. Obviously there are things that they've been heard or experienced. But yet when I see you, when I hear about the Dwyer Group, and as you said, you're not a perfect organization. I understand that. And it took a lot of hard work to get where you are. But it does come down to happy franchisees. What makes for a happy franchisee?
Well, I think as franchisors, we have to recognize we don't have all the answers. I'm only good at a couple of things, Paul. And I'm not even that great at those things. And I recognize that. And the franchisees are the ones out there day in and day out working with the end user, whoever that customer might be for their particular business. And for me, it's as simple as saying we have to live our code of values. Because our code of values clearly says we have to listen with the intent to understand what is being said and acknowledging that what is said is important to the speaker. And our franchisees are part of our family. I mean, that's how I see them. We're in a very long-term committed relationship, and I better be listening with the intent to understand what's being said. Another one of our values is everyone has the right to their own perspective. And, you know, when I talk to franchisees and even my own employees about that, some of them give me pushback and they say, wait a second, I don't want to agree with somebody else's perspective. And I say to them, I'm not asking you to agree with somebody else's perspective. I'm asking you to acknowledge that people have the right to their own perspective. You know, you were talking a minute ago, you know, somebody who's in Michigan may be having a different experience than somebody who's in Dallas, Texas, and we need to listen to their perspective. and try to understand why they see it that way, and how can we help them through that. Yeah, another one of our values that I love, and it speaks franchising, is looking to the system for correction and proposing all possible solutions when something is not working. So when something's not working in our businesses, instead of getting mad at people, Paul, we take a deep breath and we say, where is this a systems challenge here? You know, do we have a system in place that should be supporting this, and maybe we haven't done a good job training to that system, or do we have a system that now is antiquated and needs to be improved because it no longer works? You know, things are moving fast. I just think about social media alone. I mean, talking about complexity, that's causing all kinds of complexity for our franchisees.
Oh, God, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so for me, it's about living rich. It's about living by our code of values, and it's reminding myself that I'm number one. If I'm not doing this, I'm not number one in that I'm the best person. I'm just saying I'm number one in responsibility. If I'm not living those code of values, how can I expect my employees and my franchisees to live? So I've got to lead by example first, and every franchisor should be doing that. But we've got to listen. We're in this game together. And, you know, we know that we don't succeed unless our franchisees succeed. And that, to me, is just very simple.
You know, it seems to me, looking at the your code of values, and it's in four categories: respect, integrity, customer focus, and of course, having fun in the process. And I don't think I've ever spoken to somebody related to the Dwyer Group in or doing business with the Dwyer Group that hasn't at least appeared to be having fun in the process. But, you know, as I look through it and you look at, you know, key words in here, it seems like, you know, timeliness, immediately addressing things seems to be something that shines through. And I think obviously that has a lot to do with relationships, which this is all about.
It is all about relationships. Yeah, and when I talk to people about what franchising is really about, you know, I say, well, we're in the business. When I give the answer for the Dwyer Group, and I think this probably would be an answer a lot of franchisors might give, is we're in the business of helping people have a better quality of life, whether that's our franchisees, our employees, or our customers. We just happen to use franchising as a vehicle to make that happen. So it's all about people.
Yeah, it is all about people, and it seems to me, you know, just reviewing this again, that most of these code of values really can apply to any relationship, and I think it's definitely good to have. If anybody wants a copy of it, certainly you can get in touch with Dina or get in touch with myself, and I know it's public knowledge. You're proud of it, and I'm proud to be talking about it today. It's really a great reminder. How
Thanks, Paul. And they could just go to dwyergroup.com if they wanted to, you know, to get a look at those.
There you go. Thank you. So, you know, obviously the customer is involved in this, and there's two strong points on here about, you know, continuously striving to maximize internal and external customer loyalty. And we hear a lot these days, you know, with Yelp and other customer review sites, and everybody's just scared about it. And I often say, and I'm sure you'll agree, you know, operating out of fear certainly is not the right way to do it, but it's doing the things right to get to the point that you do have that customer loyalty. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, we do something at the Dwyer Group. We track Net Promoter Score, and some of the listeners may be familiar with Net Promoter Score. So like a company like Nordstrom's would have an 80 on a Net Promoter Score scale. You know, maybe some of those folks out there in the telecom industry may have a negative 5. So it gives you a range you know, customer satisfaction and experiences. And it's all based on this question, Paul, of how likely are you to refer our business to a friend or family member? And that tells you a whole lot about your business and the service that people are experiencing. And I'm proud to say that our franchisees, on average, get a score of 74. Nordstrom's at 80. And we're getting a score in the service industry of a 74. So our franchisees are working very hard to take great care of the customer. And that's an important thing. At the end of the day, if you don't want people saying nasty things about you on Yelp, take care of the customer. And there are going to be times, no matter how hard we work, Paul, you and I too, no matter how hard we work at doing the right thing, there's going to be folks we're just not going to make happy. And they're going to let us know about it. And a lot of them take advantage of social media as a form of manipulation instead of just picking up the phone and calling you and saying, I need help. You know, here's a challenge that I'm faced with. But that's the reality of where we are. People are going to do that because they know they're going to get attention. So get on the phone with them. do what you can to correct the problem. And if you know you've done everything that you can possibly do in fairness to the customer in the situation, then that's all you can do. And you know, just make sure that those customers that love you and love what you're doing are also saying things online about you as well. So that's got to be a proactive campaign that you encourage people to let the world know when they're happy with your services.
Sure. And of course, as everybody knows, I'm very much involved in the whole social media space. And oftentimes what I've found when a customer actually resorts to social media to communicate is because they haven't found any other way to communicate. And also with those organizations, typically the social media platform is nothing but a communication platform. It's not one that has been established to build an online community, which would be a very positive move. So, yeah, take care of the customers. Take care of what needs to be done. Communicate. And then going back to your code of values, do it in a timely fashion. Respond in a timely fashion. It's so vitally important and imperative to do so. And the same thing holds true with, franchisees. You know, obviously treating them with respect, responding to their needs in a timely fashion. Again, the strength here is all about the relationships. Dina, what does the future hold for you? God, you've achieved so much. You've done so much. You've been out in the public eye. You've been the head of our association, running a very successful company, written a great book. You're a frequent speaker. Got a fantastic family, a strong marriage. What's left? What's left for Dina Dwyer Owens? What does the future hold for you?
First, I need to acknowledge that the first sentence you said as you were getting this is, God, you've done so much. And so I have to acknowledge that without God, I would not have done
okay,
as much
yes,
as
great.
I've done.
Yes.
So I have to just say that, I'm a very faithful person, and you know, I'm surrounded by an amazing team at the Dwyer Group and an amazing family. And so, you know, God, team, and family are allowing me to do things that I could only have dreamt of doing, Paul. So what the future holds for Dina Dwyer Owens is I want to continue to touch millions of lives, hundreds of millions of lives, frankly, with the message of living rich. And that's the Undercover Boss experience has given me a door to a lot of organizations that I probably would have never been able to talk about how we need to take personal responsibility and live by, whether it's our values or somebody else's values that are good and will create more good in this world of ours. That's my ambition. And while I'm doing that, of course, the Dwyer Group is going to become a household name for excellence. So I've got a team that day in and day out are taking great care of our franchisees. And if we take great care of our franchisees, they'll take great care of the customer. So that's going to happen. But I'd say my biggest charge today is to get out there and continue to spread this message about how people and organizations, I don't care if it's a business or if it's a nonprofit, need to have clear values, and the leadership needs to lead with those values. And if we all do that, the world will be a better place.
And I know you're a very humble person, but I do have to agree with Mary Thompson as she received the Bonnie Levine Award this February at the IFA convention, when she referred to you as the godmother of franchising. And I think I have to concur. So God, team, family, great cornerstones, indeed. And all things, as they say, all things, good things come to an end, but I actually just call it an interruption, as we're out of time until next time. And there's so many things that race through my mind through this interview and would love to talk more about it. So I'll definitely be reaching out to you again. Again, thank you for returning as my guest on Franchise Today. It was fantastic.
My honor and privilege, Paul. And thanks for the good work that you all are doing. And I would encourage you to figure out some way to take this message on the good that's happening in franchising to the consumer. We talked about that early on, and you know, with the Undercover Boss piece you talked about. But, boy, is there a way that, Paul, you could take what you're doing here and make it consumer-level friendly? That would be terrific for franchising. So I'd encourage you to think about that.
Absolutely would. Good advice. And Franchise Today, as everybody knows, is sponsored by our strategic partners, Franchise Update Media Group and Fishman Public Relations. And as always, I'd like to thank both organizations and their leadership teams for their commitment both to the show and to franchising in general. Until next week, my name is Paul Segretto, wishing you the best, the very best in this great, 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 wonderful thing we refer to as franchising. Franchise Today is out.